So I am, we are on lesson number 3. The title of this series is Which Mind? It's associated with the mind that is in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. This is October 11th, 2020. Barnabas Bagby is the speaker. So we are looking at not necessarily a word study on the mind, although that does come into play. But there are several words in Scripture that are associated with that or are actually interpreted as that. Four primary words that come to my mind that we are looking at initially here have to do with the mind. That is the word itself, mind. I'm not going to. There are several Greek words and several Hebrew words, so forms. So that means there's more than one. There is the heart, which is often associated with the mind, or even replace the word mind. There are imaginations and the word thoughts, and there are several other words. So we are, if we're going to do a word study and cover it thoroughly, we would have to start with Genesis 1:1 and go all the way through the book, which will not happen. But what we're trying to accomplish here, one, definitely we will look at the mind of Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and the several words that in the book of Philippians that Greek forms that speak of the mind. We'll see different ideas of mind. We're looking at not only the word mind, but the adjectives that go with them to describe a particular mind. And last week we looked at a couple that were in the Old Testament. I'm going to do one short one this week that's in the Old Testament. And then one that's in the New Testament, but it speaks of one that's in the Old Testament. So we'll look at that. We kind of touched on that, I believe, last week. But what really concerns me is what goes through our minds and as individuals and in respect to the fact that we as believers have some say-so in what we allow to go through our mind. And the mind can be a very, I'm going to say a deceptive thing, I don't know if that's proper wording. It could be something that can become torturous if we allow it to happen. Certain things that go through our mind and certain conditions and circumstances that we're put into, how do we control that? So what I thought we would do this week, and by the way, there's, you know, our mind makes us aware of physical pain, but it also opens our mind to emotional pain that can be unbearable. And we want to know what the Scripture teaches about these, if it does. Things like grief and loneliness, romance, all of these things are associated with the mind, and you have some level of control of what you allow into it. And one of the things we'll do is I'm going to look at the nation of Israel and what the Lord taught them and told them to do to prepare for their lives. And it's all about, really it's all about the mind, what they put in their mind and where they started. And then there are those who were not, who are not Christians, who would not have that, have access to that. So that's a concern, but we ourselves, who were fortunate to come into a knowledge of Christ being our Savior at a young age, we have been blessed, and we've had more time in our life to allow to understand the Scriptures and put them in our minds and use that in our favor, as opposed to those who are much older in age and have come to know Christ. They too have the same formulas that we will see that we have. So one of the things we'll do this morning has to do with, I believe, just a guideline of a series of Scripture. You won't even read the word mind necessarily, but it's definitely talking about something that goes through your mind. So we'll look at some of those things. And then we will look at, if we have time, I don't know how long this will take, but we do have, and I think I mentioned this last week, we were going to talk about the reprobate mind that we find in Romans chapter 1. And essentially, that's kind of like the birthplace, shall we say, of a terrible mind. And the mind, and the entry of the fact that the devil has something to do with the mind and has some power to influence us. And it can really, I mean, it can really test a person. So we'll try to look at some of those things. I will say this, that the ultimate solution to anybody who has a concern about any concerns whatsoever, the ultimate solution is found in the Scriptures and His Word. And there are definite words in Scriptures that are verses in Scripture that tell us that. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today. Let's begin with Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. And I can tell you, you can take a book like Proverbs and read it from cover to cover, and it will describe all the things we just spoke about. And it will, it's basically a book that a portion was written by David to Solomon, and then a portion of the book was Solomon taking that advice and distributing it that too to those who would read it. So, and if when we read one verse here, I can tell you we need to go through the whole chapter, and we will see how all of these things really speak about the mind. So the first verse here, let's see if I got the right one. And did I say 6:1?
16.
16, thank you. Definitely 6:1 is not the one. Okay. 16:1, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, is from the Lord. So if you notice the notes, the companion Bible notes, you'll see the word preparations equals the arrangements or plans. And it essentially can be interpreted to man, the plans of his heart pertain to man pertain the plans of his heart, but from Jehovah comes the final decree, or the last word. So what we see here is that we get in some situation, we are in some circumstance or whatever, and I mean from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to sleep at night, I mean stop and think, have you ever laid in bed and tried to think of nothing? Well, it's absolutely impossible because your mind, unless you fall asleep, and then you got some hope there, but if you think about it, the mind just controls and dominates everything we do every day. And so we have our own ideas of how to face something, and it's usually wrong. And the true answer is in the Lord Himself. The answer, in the midst of the word tongue here, speaks of His final word on a subject. So I look at this verse and I say, you know, I don't know exactly what he's talking about here. When something bothers me, things start going through my mind that's just can be ferocious and terrorizing. I mean, you can start thinking about some crazy stuff sometimes. And if it's that dominant of a force in your mind. And then you begin to start planning that out, and you think, okay, here's how I'm going to attack this or whatever. And that's when you need to take a deep breath and back up and breathe out and let go and say, wait a minute, the Lord has the final word on this. We can struggle through this event on our own, thinking how we're going to handle something. And if we don't allow the Lord to have anything to do with it, it's going to turn out miserably. And fortunately, He is there and has the answer to every single thing that comes to us in our life and in our mind. And that is what we want. So the heart here is in place of the mind, but it certainly is something that we have to deal with. And we might read a few more verses here. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. There we go again with our own imaginations. But the Lord weigheth the spirit, and it's really the Lord. He weighs your thoughts. He understands your thoughts, and He understands some of the things going through your mind. And he wants control of that. And that's what we're going to find out here is that the nation of Israel themselves had a formula from the beginning of life till the end of life that was the ideal way to approach things. I think it's just as practical and the principle is here today as much as it was in that day. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And that's what we want. Our thoughts to be firm, stable, enduring, something that doesn't just fleets. So we want his thoughts, and that's only going to come from the Scriptures. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's way please the Lord, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So what we're going to see is the Scriptures are going to tell us and guide us and give us the ways that are of the Lord. And we need to key in on that and think about it. There's so many ways of the Lord, so many things that we need to know that it's, unfortunately, he's given us a brain that can handle more memory than any computer out there. But it's one thing to have that in your mind. It's another thing to draw it out and to use it. And that, you know, now we got some obstacles in there. We might have the devil. We might have the flesh. We might have the world. And it becomes a very sensitive and maybe perhaps a difficult thing to be able to really keep your mind on spiritual things. There's a lot of things in this world that are very attractive to us. And they're not bad things, but boy, they can sure dominate. And I mean, when you look at the word covet, it's a lot more than fleshly desires or sensual desires. It's about just even simple things. And so I think we learn lessons in life that should remind us of, hey, you know, I made the bad decision the last time. I'm not going to do this again. So there's so many things that point to keeping our mind in the right direction here. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That's pretty simple. And a lot of times we make decisions or we think about things that we feel are right. If it's in the Scripture, it's right. If it's not in the Scripture and we have to question it, we need to back up. And so we need to realize that it is definitely the Lord in the Lord's hands. So we could read this whole chapter. I might read one over here, verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. I throw that in there because when we get into the book of Romans, and particularly chapter 3, which we all know says the wages are not that verse. Now I'm losing it because I didn't write things down that I'm talking about that I wasn't planning on talking about. But the Scriptures speak of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in that passage, it's a really interesting passage. I want to do this someday. There are two chapters in the book of Psalms, and I don't have them. I think it's chapter 14 and another one. If you look at those two Psalms, lay them side by side, word for word, with a couple of exceptions, they are identical. And those are the verses that are quoted in Romans chapter 3 that tells us about what we just said there. It tells us about the fact that we are coming short. It's not really something in the past. All have sinned in the past. This is all are still sinning. All are sinning right now. And we don't meet the glory of God. So the glory of God is glory. The term glory is something we want to factor into these words here, because we'll see if we get to today with this reprobate mind that this was part of the key. They did not want to keep God, the glory of God, in their minds. Those people that he talks about there, who had a reprobate mind. So glory has something to do with it. And glory is associated with a testing, proving something. And we're going to see that that is exactly the opposite of what the word reprobate is. So if we get to that today, but anyway, those are things to keep in mind. So here in that passage of Scripture that I was mentioning in chapter 3 of Romans, he speaks about the lips, but he's going to speak over there with about the mouth, the lips, four different things, I believe, four or five different things that we associate with our head that is our problem. And so as here he speaks about righteous lips, now there's a lot to be said about what comes out of our mouth. I mean, if you think about it, you could literally, they literally caused wars, changes the entire history of mankind, just the use of words. I think we can see it today, especially in our politics, whether it doesn't matter which side you're on there, there's some words there that are very, in a lot of times they're very hurtful. So there's a lot more to what we're talking about here, but it gets down to the basics of obeying what he has said in the Scriptures. Let's look at some Scriptures here, the instructions that were given to Israel, and this is by no means the whole list, but we're going to look at a few here. And this was what was these people were to do. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 12 is what we will read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now that in itself, if you were living at this time, was a real mystery defined. I mean, a secret, because all the nations, and the nation they came out of Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, they knew about many gods. In fact, they made the golden calf. It was associated with one of the gods they knew of during the Exodus period of time that they were there. And so here is something that you will read in no religion in this world or whatever mind is spoken of, and that is that there is only one God, there is one Lord. Not many, but one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Well, just thinking about that makes me shiver, because how in the world do you do that? All your heart, all your soul, and all your might. So he's basically telling you, this is the secret. If you can do this, and the more you can do this, the better off you're going to be. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So once again, here we have this word heart that's associated with the mind. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So probably the greatest lesson we will ever learn if we are parents is this thing. We owe this to our children. It is the best thing we can give them, whether they like it or not. It was the best thing I got in my lifetime, and that was the word being passed down through my parents and hearing things, and not only hearing them, but seeing them in action, what the Lord could do. So there, it was necessary, it was always recommended to them that they teach their children diligently, and shall talk of them when you sit in thine house, and when you walk by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, every minute of the day. This is some very strict lesson for us. I mean, this is some commandments, very strict. I mean, we got a lot of things that we want to do with our, you know, growing up and families and doing things together, and this is some serious business. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And then he goes on to tell you the results if you can do that. So here's some very strict and heavy, shall we say, commandments that they were to do with the commandments themselves. This was a command to them to do this. So we're going to find several places that it was, that was the, what they were told. And so you think about it, this is the generation that survived the wilderness, the younger generation, and these are the instructions to them. Over in chapter 11, 18 to 20, I believe it says something very similar. I got the right place here. Yeah. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts in thine house and upon thy gates. So, once again, similar advice as he had just given. There's really two aspects of it here. One is the responsibility to your children, but even more so the responsibility to yourself to do these things. It'd be ferocious if you, if you told your children what to do, and then you hypocritically, you're not able to do the same things yourself. So those are things. In Leviticus chapter 10, remember that book? I'm sure you might look at it once every 10 years, if you're like me. Well, chapter 10, this is a little interesting event that happened, but it shows you the strictness and the necessity. You know, we look at these things and say, well, how in the world can you even do these things? But the necessity here is the issue. And I know that the Lord understands our abilities and our limits and so forth, but here is the ideal issue. So Nadab and Abihu, this is 10:1, the sons of Aaron took either of them his censer. So here's the son of Aaron. These are Levites. They have a priestly position, and they took them censers and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in him that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So, you got to imagine what's going through Aaron's heart to see this happen to his own sons. Now, let's go down a little bit further. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. This is serious business. He's talking about the tabernacle. He's talking about holy and unholy. Here is a group of people who have been called out of all the nations on this planet to have something that nobody else would ever have. And if they would obey, they would have blessings far beyond they could even imagine. And so this was very strict teaching, and this had to do with the tabernacle and the serious nature of that. I believe when I read the book of Ephesians and Colossians, it is very serious business. And sometimes we can easily open that, read through those, and read right over many things. But it's serious business. And furthermore, we are fortunate that he has made us holy. We've been accepted in the Beloved. There's a long list of things in that first chapter of Ephesians that's been given to this people. We should not take it lightly. Let's go on to back to Proverbs 3:1-4. Proverbs 3. Now we've got the book of Proverbs. As I said, it was the first part of it is written by David to Solomon, and then Solomon at some point picks it up after David dies. And so here's the words that he, here we are a few, what is it, 1,000 years later or something, but what we read back in Deuteronomy. And here's what's being passed down even to this, to that day. My son, forget not my law. Really, you need to read the first two chapters. You see, it's very explicit about this same idea. But let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy. By the way, when I was a child, I heard that verse. And this, we can read that verse over in is it Ephesians and Colossians about adding days to your life. And I've heard it said that it may or not be true, or if it's not. This is something that was an actual command. But this is something that meant something to me as a child who knew nothing about the scriptures. And I actually feared the Lord because of the things that were said here. And I believe this simple truth like this is, you know, very childlike. The childlike faith that a child might have becomes real. And it was real to me. I'm not looking forward for a long life necessarily these days. I think he's more concerned about a full life. And it doesn't matter about the number of days as much as it does the fullness of days and how we are blessed and get to enjoy the Lord and the things that are associated with him. But anyway, this is part of what David was passing down. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart so that thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And you know the verses 5 and 6 that often quoted, but here's the verses that go before. So, if you're going to find grace, he says. One of the things I was raised with was the one verse, we're not under law, we're under grace. And it gets you to a point where you think, well, there was no grace during the time prior to Christ coming and so forth, but the Old Testament's actually full of it. Favor or grace is belongs to anyone who has that understanding. Let's turn over to chapter 6. I know these are simple scriptures, but they're serious. I believe every verse in this Bible is serious, and we need to take it that way. 6:20, just a few more verses here. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So, once again, we're kind of repeating some of the same things. But these are the commandments. These things were to be passed down from generation to generation. And there were, in the day of the Lord, when he was on this earth, there were some very serious people in it, who really believed these things. And they were probably the simplest mindest of all those people who lived during that period of time. So these words really did mean something. Now just a few more verses and we're going to move to a different subject. Psalms 119. Now about close to 45 years ago, probably within this week, when my wife and I were... When I was, what's the word? Escorting? Not the word. That's not the word I want. Anyway, we were dating. And so my wife, who was very brilliant and meticulous about the scriptures, said, so I think once a week we'd take a hike. We'd hike one of the mountains in Phoenix. And she said, let's take a Bible with us and we'll take turns picking a chapter out of the book. And so we did that for a while, and I thought, well, you know what? Let's see how serious she is. So I said, let's read. I'm in the wrong book here. I said, let's read Psalms 119. And so, what, there's 176 verses in there. I don't know if we made it through all of them, but there was a principle there that I think I've enjoyed in my marriage all these years. And that was the blessing of the scriptures and to be with one who heard about them. And let's read a few verses out of here. Psalms 119, beginning in verse 11. Actually, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a man, young man, cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, this is a psalm you should read every once in a while. Read this entire psalm because it's all about the word. And if you have a companion Bible, you will notice. So in verse 9, at the top of verse 9, you will see in the companion Bible that we are looking at the letter Beth. So these are divided into the alphabet. The next one in verse 17 is Gimel, and verse 25 is Daleth. So this was a means. When we read about writing things upon the front of your eyes, placing things and writing things along the way, this was a way that people used. This was a form of being able to memorize scripture. And you had these different letters that go with it that helped you understand scripture. So this chapter in itself is kind of the basis of what Israel had to do, had before them. Think about it. They didn't have the computer, the laptop. We could pop that right out and look up a verse. They had to literally memorize these things. So think about how much information went through their minds. With my whole heart, verse 10, have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is the key, I believe, to the questions and the issues that I spoke of that go through our mind. And that is hiding the word in our heart. And let's see if I got a couple more here. 15 and 16. I mean, we could go through this whole chapter. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And I know to some degree that after 70 years, I've been very fortunate. And I mean, I know every verse in this book, and I probably haven't read every single verse in this book, but I know this, these principles that we read here about his word are real, and they will come to your mind when the Lord, when you need to, when the Lord wants you to have that. So, these are very positive things, and as I say, you should read this whole book and think about it personally and how to use that in your own life. So I'm going to put that aside, and I did not start my timer here, so I think I'm approximately 20 minutes or 25 minutes into this study, so I'll pay attention here. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 26. This is not, you look at this and you say, what, you know, why are you showing me this? And this is about one of the minds, is one of the first minds that we read of in Scripture. And I think there's probably a good lesson from it. Let's read verse, Exodus. I want Genesis chapter 26, the last couple verses here, verse 34 and 35. And you have to read this whole, the chapters before this, and what went on between Esau and Jacob, and between the parents, and the blessings, and all of that, the birthright and so forth. And so we read here in verse 34. So after all this, and remember, their mother, the two children, the mother and father, the mother liked Jacob, the father liked Esau, and they tried to manipulate things here. And so here's the result of what, of putting things into the Lord's hand. The first verse we started with today, back in Proverbs chapter, whatever that was, 16, I believe. The preparations and the plans of men. Here, so their plans and their preparations turned out to be something that affected them the rest of their life. So here's what we read. So this is when the children, or Esau is leaving the family, so to speak, after the blessing and so forth. He says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took a to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathshemeth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. These are two which are, I believe, from the seed line of Canaan, and this is where, of course, we're introduced some of the giants and so forth into the world. And so these were associated with a seed line that was associated with the devil. And it says of that, verse 35, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And so I believe they spent the rest of their life grieving over some things here because of some of the decisions they made. And I suspect many of us can think of things that, you know, you can't get out of your mind that maybe goes back a long time in your life. But it's just somewhat of a warning, I believe. Here's a mind that we probably don't want to talk about, but it is something that we as human beings have to face up to. So anyway, I think there's a good lesson there. Now, having said that, and realizing that we don't have much time, I will just introduce the following subject, and that's going to be Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read the verse that we want to be concerned about. And you look at this verse and say, well, why do I really care? Isn't this past? And I'm going to say, no, it's not. It's going to point to a future. And I think what I'll do is just read a few verses here. I said Romans chapter 1. And we will take it up next week because I don't think I want to rush through this. You will read in this chapter, let's see, where do we begin? I was going to read from the beginning. But the verse we're going for is in verse 28. Is it? Yes, okay, 28. We read this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we're going to read about a period of time when there were people on this planet and they knew God. And we're going to read about that they didn't want to retain that in their mind. We're also going to read some key words here, which is the word glory, that I think will open our minds and understanding to a lot of things. Because they didn't like, verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. So we're going to talk about glory in this verse, and I'll throw this out at this time, the word reprobate is the word adokamos. So any word that starts with an A is the negative. It means it's no or not. Whatever that word is. And then the word docimus is the word that we find in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And so that is the root word of what actually the word glory comes from. The word glory itself is doxa. And there's definitely a connection between the two. And so ultimately, what we want to understand about this is that there is a refining. Amongst believers, there is always this issue of refinement. And so for anyone to be approved in a workman that's not ashamed, they're going to have to be refined. They're going to go through the testing. They're going to go through the refinement process of going through the fire and so forth, metaphorically, that is. And that is what these people were. They had something, shall we say, in their own hands, and they didn't want it. And so they gave themselves over to just the opposite of what we're going to read. Let's read a couple other verses here, if I've got them. There's one in Titus. Let me find these here. Well, let's read 2 Timothy 3:8. And I believe Mr. Bullinger points this out in the side comments there in back in Romans. 2 Timothy, I'm going to say 2 or 3, 3:8, we read this. So verses, chapter 3 chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. We won't read this, but here's the subject. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So these are the words of Paul. He's speaking of the last days. Remember, in 1 Timothy, he spoke of the latter days. And there he said that we're in the latter days, if you read that whole passage. So now he's saying, he's warning Timothy that in the last days, the real last days, perilous times shall come. And, you know, we can look even in our day now how possible it is that we're near. And he gives you a list, you know, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, da da da. And you go through this list, and we get down to verse 8. He says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses to do those things. Also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So he uses the same word here, unapproved, that he uses over in Romans, and he's speaking of the last days these things shall happen. So we need to look at this, and most of these words that he uses here, he uses at the end of Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read 28 through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to stop. We'll just use this as a springboard in the next week. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So God gave them over, and if I remember correctly, that word giving over, it's giving over into the hands of another. So it's not merely he gave them over, it appears that he passed them on to someone else, if I can make that kind of a statement. We'll look at that a little bit closer. He gave them over to a reprobate mind and do things, those things, which were not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness. For some reason I've crossed off the word fornication. It may not be in the original. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Okay, so there's a list of things. I mean, if you want to talk about negative, this is negative. Nothing positive there about these particular people we're going to look at next week. And you can take these words and go look them up and find most of them over here in chapter 3 of the last days. So this is something we don't just look back on. And this was, you know, goes back to actually, I'm going to say from the time of Genesis, or of Adam on, but it is also after that period of time, after the flood, and it's not until chapter 10 of Genesis that we read about the Gentiles. And we're going to see that this book of Romans here takes this first chapter and points to essentially the Gentiles. And if you were a Jew living at this time and you're sitting there in Rome and you're reading this letter, you're kind of getting excited. Uh-huh. Here's these stinking Gentiles. Look at all the things they did. And now look at us Jews, how great we are. Well, chapter 2 talks about the fact that they're not so great. And finally we get to chapter 3 and we find out none of us are anything. We are all sinners. And so these things are put in the proper order. So this reprobate mind may mean more than just what appears to be on the surface here. It's a horrific thing. If I can find a better word, I'll do it. But it's something to consider. And when you look at the whole picture of Romans, I have to say, wow, look at the grace of God. That of all these people that's gone before this was written, this world is just totally worthless. I mean, it's They have no hope whatsoever. And it's in chapter 3 we find out about the just and the justifier, how just God was to do the things he did. And then the issue of what was the price that was paid for that very thing. And so this is a beautiful passage of scripture here. And even though this may be a negative mind here, it has a lot of positive to it as a result. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. Let's close in a word of prayer, and we will pick it up next week. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have that to lean on. Thank you for all of these scriptures and the many more that we haven't even touched on that speaks about your wonderful love and your grace toward us. Thank you that we have been adopted into this body of believers as sons and the sonship there that we enjoy. And we thank you, and we pray once again for those who are in great need, that there is, you give them the strength that you promise, and open our eyes, each of us, our eyes to the things that we need to know daily as we walk on this earth. Thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.